Good morning. Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm your host, Ann Goldine, and we are going to have fun today. Kate Brister is in the lobby answering your phone calls. Give us a call here at 325-0010, and you can get your questions answered. Also, if you want to register for the Spring Garden Seminar on April 17th, a project of the Clatsop County Master Gardeners, please give a call, and Kate will do that. She's one of the registrators for the spring seminar. My guest today is Maggie Stuckey. She is a Portland author, quite a prolific author, including a chapter in Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul, and one title that I love, Gardening from the Ground Up, Rock Bottom Basics for Absolute Beginners. And it looks like over the last 30 years has published a lot of books on topics from gardening, cooking, and entertaining. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So you grew up in South Carolina and have lived in Portland the last 30 years, and now just bought a home or a cottage or something in Ocean Park, Washington. So now you're a, what do you call that? A two-home person.
A two-home person. I suppose you do. I am looking forward to learning about gardening in this kind of climate. Mm-hmm. I'm intimidated by how much I don't know, but
Join the club.
I think it'll be fun figuring it all out.
Well, you know, and in Ocean Park, it's a very particular kind of gardening because it's sand. I mean, you're starting from nothing. I mean, and even if you have a garden, it's underneath it all, it's sand. And, right. and it prefers to be sand.
Right, right. Well, I'm really lucky. The cottage that I bought, one of the attractions for me was that it has a small greenhouse with beds filled with good material for starting seeds.
Wow. Are they raised beds?
They are.
How neat. Yeah. What a nice, instead of just some shelves, it's actually got some.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that would be, that'd be up on my list of what would make a house interesting to buy.
Right.
Okay. So, Thursday, you are going to be the guest speaker at the Brown Bag, series for the Clatsop County Master Gardeners for, a meeting talking about containers. And that is at noon, and it's at the fairgrounds at the 4-H hut, which is on the parking lot side of things. And the public is welcome to come and hear you speak. And you're also going to be one of the lecturers at the Spring Garden Seminar.
Yes.
So you're just fitting in all over the place. Everyone will have opportunities to get to meet you. So, okay, so where would you like to... How did you get into writing?
I've always made my living with words in one way or another. I worked for a lot of years as an editor. For publishing companies, and then later on as a freelancer, and it one thing leads to another. You might have noticed that in your own life. You start here, and pretty soon you're 20 degrees a little farther on. And I developed some really nice relationships with editors at publishing houses back east. And one day the phone rang, and one of the people that I'd been working with as an editor had changed jobs to another publishing house, and she said, we're doing this series of 6 books. These are the topics. Which one would you like? And one of the topics was houseplants, which is something I happen to know about, and I said, okay, that one. And it turned out to be one of the major publishing houses, so that became, in effect, a business card. I could use that and leverage it into other opportunities.
You were already published in a particular field.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So that was the beginning. Okay. Was that Houseplant Encyclopedia? No.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
Oh. Yeah. But you've got a 1978 date of Green Plants for Gray Days, House Plants for the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
That's way before that.
Right. And that's how I could say to her with authority, yes, I do know something about house plants.
Ah. So that came next. Wow. Oh, that's Putnam.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. And then from there, you just got more and more people asking you to write, or did you go with an idea to a publisher?
Both of those things. It happens in both ways.
Oh, how fascinating. That sounds fun. So what's your preferred thing to write about?
Cooking, actually. I really enjoy... my brother paid me a wonderful compliment one time. He said, you could go into a house and open up somebody's cupboard and make a meal out of whatever you find there. I said, I like doing that. I like trying to figure out what tastes go with other tastes and creating something that's new, and which is the delight of having a small container garden near your kitchen door. You step outside, get a few pieces of herbs, maybe some fresh lettuce, some edible flowers, and just incorporate them into this image that you have of whatever you're creating. It gives you lots of extra things to work with.
Now, you said before we went on that you thought that your area of most expertise was in herbs, growing and using them.
Yes.
And obviously, a lot of herbs are really great in containers.
It is the perfect, absolutely perfect thing for container gardens. Anybody who's not had experience with putting a container garden together, I always tell them, start with herbs. Two reasons. Mm-hmm. One is the biggest challenge with growing things in containers is keeping them moist. Mm-hmm. The stuff in containers dries out faster than the same plant in the ground because it has no insulation. It's completely open to the forces of nature swirling around the container. But most herbs don't suffer if the soil goes dry in the same way that vegetables do. If you think about it, most of the herbs that we cook with are native to the Mediterranean region. And picture what that soil is like. It's dry, it's sandy, it's rocky. Gardeners would consider it very poor soil, but it's perfect for herbs. The other thing is, you don't need a vast amount of any one herb in order to enjoy it. So a container garden, which is, in effect, a regular garden in miniature, a small size of a garden, you can have one or two herb plants and have as much as you need. And it's right, and you can put it right where you need it. You don't have to walk 80 yards to the back garden.
So, where would you put it?
You would put it where you have the most sun.
Okay.
Number one.
But not inside in a window.
No. People try to do that, mm-hmm. and it just never works out really well.
Is it too hot in the house?
It's too hot, and you just don't really get the right sun. You don't get you don't get good light. Unless you have a greenhouse window. Which some people do.
A greenhouse. Okay, a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Or if you had like that one of those bay window things that's kind of like a greenhouse.
That's kind of what I mean.
Okay.
But even so, it's too hot inside. You just really won't get, well, you'll be disappointed. And I don't like for people to be disappointed, especially in their first efforts.
Okay, so the sunniest place you've got, so maybe on a deck or a porch, or even just right outside the door.
Perfect right outside the door, because then you'll use it more.
Okay, and what about container? What do you recommend for containers?
You mean the physical container?
Yes.
Yeah. Lots of choices. It really doesn't matter so much about that. It's more a question of people choose that on the basis of aesthetics, mm-hmm. what they like the look of. There's pluses and minuses to all the things. I really like the new kind of... I don't even know what you call it, that fancy foam that looks like something else, but it's very lightweight.
Oh, right. It looks like a terracotta or some kind of a pottery pot, but you can lift it up.
You can lift it up. It's not susceptible to breakage nearly as much. I don't think they last 20 years, but they'll last a good 4 or 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem in terms of having an attractive garden is it takes a little discipline to always get containers that look nice with each other so you don't end up with a mess of different mm-hmm. kinds of containers. Mm-hmm. And it's tempting to do that. You pick up something when you see it. But if you can somehow keep in mind that the garden that you're putting together needs the same eye for design as a big garden, and the container itself, particularly if they are bright colors, mm-hmm. is one really easy way to incorporate a cohesive design look to your garden.
It sounds great. I keep imagining this beautiful, my neighbor has this gorgeous, very tall, kind of, I don't know, painted blue and silver, really beautiful pot. I don't know what it has in it, but I could see some herbs in it right now. And that's what I was envisioning. Okay, so what about dirt? Because you said, okay, if we're thinking of Mediterranean, we're not going to fill it up with rocks and sand.
No. But what you're also not going to do is you're not going to go out in your backyard and dig up that dirt and put it in the container, especially if you want to grow vegetables like tomatoes and peppers and all of that family that needs a lot of water and a lot of depth. I really like to see people get an actual commercial potting soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe add to it some peat moss or vermiculite, something to lighten it up. You would probably want at least one container that's a real good size. And then you don't want it to be so heavy that you can't move it, because being able to move the garden throughout the season is one of the real reasons people have containers. They can move it around where the sun moves.
One of the things I did this year for the first time was I bought some little mini stands with wheels for my bigger pots. And that has been wonderful to just, okay, babe, you're going over here now.
Right.
And it's not, I mean, I've got some, they're plastic pots, but they're huge plants.
Right.
Can't really move, like a lemon tree. You right. can't really just pick it up.
Right.
You can drag it, eventually ruin the bottom of the pot.
Right. And you know that in order to have a lot of space across the top of the container, it usually has to be tall. There's usually a relationship between the diameter and the height. So if you want a good big round area for planting small plants, they may not need the full depth for roots. So you fill up the bottom half of it with those peanuts that we all hate, but, you know, you order something online and there they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to do with them.
A couple inches deep?
Well, maybe even a third of the way up.
Oh, okay.
And also those square blocks of styrofoam when you buy a new CD player, it's all packaged in this stuff. That's a good thing. You can cut that stuff with a knife from the kitchen to fit in the shape of the bottom of the container. Or soda pop cans, empty soda pop cans, if you turn them upside down so water doesn't get into them, they take up the space and don't add any extra weight.
Oh, those are great ideas. So then you don't want to fill the whole thing up with potting. Well, it'd take bags.
Unless you're growing something that has a lot of root growth and needs a lot of water, like tomatoes.
Oh, okay. But if we're talking about herbs or...
Or lettuce or any of those wonderful salad greens that you mm-hmm. cost an arm and a leg in the store, you can buy, you can grow them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need but just, you know, maybe 4 or 5 inches of root depth.
Okay. So now, what about compost? People are wild about compost. Would you add compost to your pots?
I would not if you start out with good quality commercial soil. You're going to be adding fertilizer, but compost is just one more thing to deal with.
So not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. That's probably one mistake I've made, or maybe wasted compost.
Especially if you're going to do an herb garden, you don't want the soil to be richly fertilized because then you get a lot of leaves, but the essential oils that give the herb the whatever it has that you're growing it for in the first place
mm-hmm.
gets dissipated when the leaves are too big. So you get more flavor when the growth is tight and small and compact.
So you're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with garden cooking and entertaining author Maggie Stuckey, who lives both in Portland and Ocean Park, and will be giving a talk about container gardening in life, in Clatsop County at the Fairgrounds 4-H Hut Thursday at noon. You are all welcome to attend. It's a program of the Clatsop County Master Gardeners, and she'll also be a guest at the Spring Garden Seminar on April 17th, giving a talk. What's your talk then?
It's all about container gardening. Uh-huh. The spring seminar is going to be broad. It'll encompass vegetables and fruits. The thing I'm doing on Thursday is focused primarily on herbs and edible flowers.
Great. And if you want to register for the Spring Garden Seminar, give Kate a call at 325-0000 and 325-0010. And she can take your registration information. Okay, so when we took a break, you were talking about that compost for herbs is a waste. Not for vegetables, but for herbs. And so, okay, so now we've picked some containers, we've put foam or cans or something, and we've put commercial new potting soil. We've amended it with some peat moss or vermiculite. Next.
Pay attention to fertilizer. As I said before, the biggest challenge with containers is keeping them watered, which means you add water a lot. Mm-hmm. Which means you're washing away fertilizer because it's all water soluble. Mm-hmm. So you need to do more fertilizing than you would if you had a traditional garden in the ground. I like to keep it as simple as possible. Mm. A regular balanced fertilizer like 10-10-10 or 10-15-10 or something in that category.
Is this for herbs?
No, this would be for fruiting vegetables, things okay. that make a flower first,
okay.
which is most of our vegetables when you okay. think about it.
Sure.
I'd like to make it half strength and do it about once a week during the period when the plants are really heavily producing.
And once a week, light. Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do for orchids.
Yeah. Now, you can tell when it's dry by using this wonderful device that we all have, a nice, big, long finger, stick it in as far as it'll go, and if the soil is dry, it's time to water. If it's actively making flowers and fruit, give it a dose of fertilizer about once a week.
Okay. And then this time of year, just?
Nothing.
Okay. Now, what about watering? Watering this time of year and watering versus in the summer.
Well, your containers are going to be outside, so they're going to be getting rainwater.
Maybe. What if they're under the eaves?
Then you need to check them the same way using this nice little digital tester. I wouldn't give it any fertilizer this time of year. Mm-hmm. Things are mostly dormant or semi-dormant, and it's bad. It stresses the plants if they get fertilizer before they're ready for it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Just check for water. You don't want anything to go bone dry, but when it's not actively growing, it doesn't need as much water. It doesn't need any fertilizer. It just needs a good long rest.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Okay, so now it's not going to be too long before people might actually be ready to do this project. And so let's talk about the kinds of plants. Let's start with herbs that you might think about wanting to incorporate in some containers.
All right. Most herbs that you cook with are perennials. So if you're starting from scratch, pick out a couple of things that you know you like to cook with, mm-hmm. And maybe one that is new to you. So you have a small, let's say maybe a 12 or 14 inch pot with three herb plants in it. There's no harm in packing them tight in there. As they grow, you're going to be cutting off pieces to use. So, which will help them get a nice bushy shape, and it'll keep them from going crazy. Eventually, maybe 5 years down the road, you might have to dump them out of that pot and do some root pruning, or maybe move one into a second pot. But you can get along for a good number of years with a tight little herb garden that has things in it. Now, I'd like to encourage people to fill up the pot. One of my rules is let's not have any bare dirt in there. So in between the spaces, while your perennial herbs are still kind of small, tuck in some annuals. A real popular annual is basil, but not yet. It's too cold for basil, and it will be until around June.
Actually, in Astoria, basil outside does not do very
does
well.
Does not do very well. So
it's not
that.
Really hot enough. But let's think of something else.
Well, you could put a small lettuce plant in
there
and fill
go.
In the spaces. Several different
kinds, so you get some red and green.
And you go and pull out three or four leaves, so the lettuce plant itself stays relatively small till it gets, you know, midsummer and starts to bolt. To take it out and plop in something else.
That's a great idea. Okay, so let's see. What are some herbs that we might want to put in there?
Rosemary.
Now, rosemary comes in lots of varieties.
Lots of varieties, yeah. Blue flowers, pink flowers, white flowers, tall, upright growth habit, cascading growth habit. That's very much up to your personal
taste.
Well,
I think the issue would be if you want a rosemary, I mean, my rosemary that's in my yard looks like a tree.
Right.
It's quite amazing. But the rosemary that's on the ground seems like it would be more suitable for a pot. I mean, I guess it depends what you want it to be.
Right.
But the rosemary would eventually take over the pot.
That's right. That's right. And so then you'd have a nice sculptural plant in your pot, and you can start another one. And that's more fun. You start another one.
Okay, so rosemary would be a good one.
And thyme. I love growing thyme. There's about a bajillion different varieties, and there's so much fun. There's lemon thyme and lime thyme and cinnamon thyme and rose thyme. And they have beautiful flowers, and they drape gracefully over the edge of the container. That's a nice way to think about it. Something that grows upright, and then something that kind of spills over the sides, and you've got a beauty.
That sounds great. Yeah, thymes are wonderful. There's variegated and non-variegated.
Right.
Okay, what about like oregano and marjoram? Oh, could you, there seems to be a lot of overlap. Are people call plants that are actually marjoram, oregano? What's that?
And you know, there's hardly any difference. The truth is they're so close botanically.
Oh.
I don't know anybody who could, if you just gave them a blind taste test, you know, put the things on, you couldn't really tell one from the other.
Oh, so it doesn't matter then.
It really doesn't matter.
Okay, so, but there are different varieties of oregano.
Yes.
That'd be a good one.
Yes, yeah.
What about sage? I don't know if people use that as much as...
But it's pretty. I love, especially that tricolor sage. Mm-hmm. It's creamy white and green and pink around the edges. Sage has a way of getting real leggy at about year three. So you got to keep cutting it back. Or here's the thing, Anne. The plants didn't cost very much to begin with. If they're just not doing well, you know, add them to the compost pile and try something else. It's not the end of the world.
No, I think it's really a sign of maturity that you that you can actually move on, you know, move on from that and take it out.
Yeah.
Give up something that's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, talking about not having any spot that's not used, grow garlic. You buy a head of garlic in the supermarket, break it apart into the individual cloves, and poke them down in the soil, and each one of them will send up green shoots, which then becomes green garlic. And if you go to a farmer's market and buy green garlic, it's like $10 a pound. You just walk out to your nice little herb garden and clip off a few pieces. It's great.
Right, and you certainly don't need a whole bunch.
You don't need a whole bunch. And let's also put some chives in that garden because the flowers are so beautiful. It doesn't take up a lot of space. It earns its keep in the container. That's how I like to think about it. It takes a small amount of space, but you get a lot of oomph from that little bit of space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, chives are wonderful.
Yeah.
What else?
Some garlic chives. Regular chives and garlic chives. Mm. The foliage has a taste like chives, but it also tastes like garlic. And it has a completely different flower and flower head. Again, it may be 2 square inches out of your container, but you get a lot of oomph out of that little bit of space.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think the sunniest place at my place is on my front porch until the afternoon when that bedroom blocks it. But then I suppose I could move it.
Well, actually, it's probably just fine. Late, you know, mid-afternoon sun is the hottest, driest, most problematic. So maybe you're just fine.
Okay, well, I was thinking that might be a nice place.
Yeah.
It's not quite outside the kitchen, but it's not very far.
Right.
Just go, yeah, go through the foyer, and that's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
When it's hot and dry, do you need to water the container every day or twice a day?
If you have things that need moist soil, you might. Mm-hmm. You might. If you have got some flowers in there, some edible flowers.
Oh, but herbs. Nice
No, for herbs, probably not.
So then
I can't imagine any circumstance in which you'd need to water an herb plant every day.
Even in a pot?
Right.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay. But then things like tomatoes in a pot, they need a lot more water.
Every day, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So that means if you go on vacation, you better have a waterer.
You better have, one of those nice systems that's tied to and has a timer on it, blah, 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 or a very nice neighbor.
Or a kid in the neighborhood who you can pay.
Right.
Bribery works usually.
Yes.
Okay, so what about, I know we haven't talked about lavender.
My favorite. If I have a favorite herb, that's it. It's so lovely. It grows very well here, I think. It's extremely easy to grow. It has a lot of benefits for making pretty things. I make lavender vinegar, which turns a gorgeous deep pink color. You make sachets and things like that. It's not easy to use lavender in cooking because it has a really strong taste and can overwhelm whatever you're doing. But a little bit of lavender in shortbread cookies, for instance, is really, really nice. And there, once again, it's one of those plants that there's a million cultivars. So you're not limited to just one or two plants. You can choose by growth habit, by color of flower.
By country of origin.
Country of origin. It's another one that you have to watch out. It doesn't get leggy and woody down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Once again, maybe one of those plants that you won't need to plan on having around for 25 years. Might need to replace it somewhere in there, particularly in a container. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about container gardens is it's right there. It's right in front of you all the time, which is both good and bad. It's good because you can see what's happening. And if there's something problematic is developing, you see it right away.
And you can fix it.
And you can fix it right then. You're not working with 20 acres. You're just working with 20 inches. The bad thing is, if things are getting to look sloppy, it's real, real apparent. Because once it's right in front of your face.
So then, again, you can fix it.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been great. I would love to have you come back and maybe at the end of the spring and give us a roundup of what you've discovered up in Ocean Park.
Sure, I'd love to do that.
You have been listening to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and my guest has been prolific author Maggie Stuckey.